Our lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. Hear God's word. What this adds up to is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil the kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. And don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. So don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Watch what God does, and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. When I think of this passage, I think of a story that I've enjoyed over the years, and maybe you've heard it. It's about a cab driver who took his job very seriously as not just being a way of getting a person from one place to another, but he saw his job as a way of caring for other people. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in our work and our daily duties, and we focus on the goals, we focus on the tasks, we focus on the stuff, all the running around, and we lose sight of what our real purpose is, of why we're really here. Those things can end up to be just a terrible distraction. Well, this cab driver writes about one particular episode in his journey that he can never forget. He said, 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. It was a cowboy's life. Because for me, it was not just driving a cab, it was also ministry. Because I drove the night shift, my cab became a moving confessional. Passengers climbed in, they sat behind me in total anonymity, and they told me about their lives. He said, I encountered people whose lives amazed me, ennobled me, made me laugh, and made me weep. He said, but none touched me more than this woman I picked up late one August night. When I arrived at 2:30 in the morning, the building was dark except for just a single light in a ground floor window. Now, usually, under these circumstances, drivers, they just honk once or twice, and they expect the passenger, you know, to come out. They wait a minute, and if they don't come out, well, then they kind of go on their way. They have other things to do. But to be honest, I'd seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. And so unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. Passenger might be someone who needs my assistance. So I walked to the door, and I knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor, and after a long pause, the door opened. There was a small woman. She was in her 80s, and she stood before me, and she was wearing this print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, something like straight out of a 1940s movie, like you've seen. And by her side was this little nylon suitcase. Apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets, no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks, no utensils on the counters. In the corner, there was this cardboard box which was just filled with photos and glassware. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she asked. I took the suitcase to the cab and then returned to assist her, and she took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. I just try to treat my passengers the way I'd want my mother treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy." When we got to the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, Could you drive through downtown?" "It's not the shortest way," I answered. I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to hospice." I looked in the rear mirror, and her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left, and the doctor says I don't have very long." I reached over and I shut off the meter. "So, what route do you want to take?" I asked. And for the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. And we drove through the old neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that once had been a ballroom where she'd gone dancing as a girl. And sometimes she'd ask me to kind of slow down in front of a particular building or corner, and she'd sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was crossing the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she'd given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, and with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up, and they were very solicitous, very intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk, and I took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked, reaching into her purse. "Nothing. You have to make a living." "There are other passengers," I responded, and almost without thinking, I bent over and I gave her a hug. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand, and then I walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought, and for the rest of the day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver, or one who was impatient at the end of a shift? What if he had refused to take the run? What if he had honked and then driven away? A quick review. I don't think that I've ever done anything more important in my life. Does that story touch you the way it touches me? A little while ago, we talked about a father of six with a new baby who's lost his life. This woman, who's the mother of all those children, now gone. A reminder of how brief our life is. And it makes us all wonder, I'm sure, why are we here? What is our real purpose? And are we living our purpose? Now, cab drivers, they're people who serve, and there are many who are in different service capacities. And half the world, they take the services and they don't pay any attention to the person providing. There's almost a sense of entitlement of like, okay, well, I'm going to pay the guy. He needs to do his job. And then we move on. And we don't think about him as a person. Maybe we're some of those people who provide those services and have been on the other side and know what it feels like to be objectified, like robots, just expected to deliver as other people move on with their life. Do you ever feel invisible? I hope you've had that experience. Not because I want you to have sadness and difficulty in your life, but because those experiences that can be painful can be reminders. Reminders of the compassion that we need to show. Reminders of how much caring is needed. I don't know how many of you are as turned off as I am by all the news, all the media, all the politics, all the noise, all the bullying everywhere, even by those who say don't bully. They can often be the worst bullies. Has there ever been a time when our love and caring is more needed? I don't think so. And sometimes, you know, we can get caught up. We can believe the lie that accomplishment is about doing big things that make you famous. And no, that's not it at all. The big things are the little things. The little things that you and I have the opportunity every day and every moment if we're paying attention. That means wherever you are and what you're doing, whether you're still working or you're retired, there are people coming across your path all the time. How do we treat them? Are we kind? Do we see it as an opportunity? Because it is. That means whatever situation you're in, whether it's the person who's delivering your newspaper, whether it's the person who's checking out your groceries, whether it's the person in front of you with a cart, what we all have opportunities in every exchange with every person we see to be an example of God's love, to make someone's day better. Haven't you had those moments too? When a complete stranger treats you with kindness, unexpected kindness often, with a smile, maybe holding the door, maybe picking up that thing you dropped on the floor. Little things are big things when they're done with love. And it affects who we are as well. You know, there was a book that came out a while back by S.I. McMillan, best-selling book called None of These Diseases. And in it, McMillan pointed out that bitterness can consume a person mentally and emotionally. That as soon as we start, he says, the moment I start hating a man, I become a slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he even controls my thoughts. My resentments produce too many stress hormones in my body. I become fatigued after only a few hours of work. The person I hate hounds me everywhere I go. I cannot escape his tyrannical grasp on my mind. The man I hate may be miles away from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver. He whips my thoughts into such frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture. The lowliest of the serfs can sleep, but not I. I really must acknowledge the fact that I enslaved every person on whom I pour the vials of my wrath. See the contrast here? Giving your love in simple ways, in kindness, feeds us, even as it feeds others. And bitterness, anger, hate only destroys. This is not some pie-in-the-sky advice. This is real. And even the scientific experiments show that it's real. It's real. So what do we do? This morning's passage says, no more lies. Don't be lying to yourself or to others. Speak truth, but speak it in love. It says be angry, and that's often misinterpreted. What that means is don't stuff your feelings. Know what you're actually feeling. Because if you're stuffing what you feel, if you're not honest and in touch with those feelings, they come out in ways you can't even recognize or realize. You can be walking along and feeling anger that you're not in touch with, and that anger will come out of that stranger instead of kindness. So you've got to know about it, even though you don't act on it. Watch how we talk. This again, we're warned to say what helps and to let our words be a gift to other people. That's how we live our life in love. We're also told to live our lives as God would. If we don't know what to do in a situation, think about how God handles things. Think about how God and Jesus can guide our life. How Jesus was a model, an example in everything that he did. And so we need to follow his example. But we need to study him so we know what that example is. And we need to love generously. Not to manipulate, not to get something from others, but just to be freely living out, sharing, and giving God's love. Because at the end of the day, my friends, it doesn't matter what we say we believe. It doesn't matter how much we carry our Bible around. It doesn't matter if we wear a cross around our neck. What matters is how we treat others. Love like that. Really, love like that. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to remember that in everything we do, we have one purpose: to love others. May every act be an act of kindness. May every act reflect who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.